Praise be Jesus and Mary. So today we celebrate the memorial of Saint Kateri Tekakwitha. She was born in the 17th century at that holy ground at Orrisville, New York, Shrine of the North American Martyrs. If you've never made a pilgrimage there, I highly suggest it. It is holy ground where three of the North American martyrs, there are eight altogether, five were martyred in Canada, three were martyred there at Orrisville, New York. That was Saints René Goupil, Saint Isaac Jogues, and Saint Jean de Lalande. And on that same ground where these three heroic, extraordinary saints were martyred, Saint Kateri, I think about 10 years afterwards, was born. And in reflecting on what took place there in Orrisville and the heroic feats of the North American martyrs, one of the things that comes to mind is how earnest they were to baptize the Indians, those who were prepared to receive baptism, or those who presented no obstacle to receiving baptism. For example, infants who were dying. Okay, there is no obstacle for them to receive baptism, and it is necessary for salvation. And so the Jesuits, whenever there happened to be the case of a baby who was dying, they would be sure to baptize it and send that soul to heaven. Now, in the case of the adults, of course, there was necessarily required their consent, a minimum act of faith, belief in Jesus Christ as the Redeemer of the world and the Trinity, and that the good are rewarded and the wicked are punished, these type of things, before they could receive baptism if these Indians were on the point of death. Saint Kateri herself was born to a Christian mother, but she actually didn't receive baptism until she was 19 years old, and she ended up dying when she was 24. But it's amazing how she cooperated with grace, okay, the graces, the actual graces that God was sending to her prior to her baptism. Okay, she had a natural, no, we can't say natural, she had a supernatural attraction to virginity prior to her baptism. Okay, she was disposed towards virtue and goodness and had all of these dispositions to receive supernatural faith and eventually would be baptized and be recognized for her heroic virtue. So it gives us a little opportunity to look at baptism, specifically the necessity of baptism and what the catechism has to say about that. But first, we need to make sure that we have the right catechism. All right, let's remember that in the early 90s, there were printed editions of the catechism that were not or are not in accord with the official Latin text. Okay, that's this tan one, this smaller white version. All right, if you have these, time to burn them. Okay, go out and get yourself the green second edition, which is in accordance with the official Latin text. It makes a difference in the text we're going to look at today, but also other ones. Maybe I'll get to those later on this week. So first, the necessity of baptism. The Catechism teaches, paragraph 1277, baptism is birth into the new life of Christ in accordance with the Lord's will. The Lord wills this. It is necessary for salvation, as is the church herself, which we enter by baptism. Okay? So the church and baptism, both necessary for salvation in accordance with the Lord's will. Now, paragraph 1281 is the one where there's actually a difference between translations. And again, this is why it's important to have the second edition. Paragraph 1281 is a bit confusing because it lumps together three categories of persons, right? Those who die for the faith, those who are catechumens, that is, those who are being prepared for baptism, adults being prepared for baptism, and those who do not know about Christ and his church. It lumps them all together in paragraph 1281. It says, those who die for the faith, those who are catechumens, and all those who, without knowing of the church, but acting under the inspiration of grace, seek God sincerely and strive to fulfill his will, can be saved even if they have not been baptized. Okay? So we just talked about the necessity of baptism for salvation, but this is saying that these three groups can be saved even if they had not been baptized. That's the official translation. All right, the old bad translation says are saved even if they have not been baptized. Now that's confusing because we need to make distinctions between the members of these three different groups. Now it does that if you go back into the other parts of the catechism that talks about these three groups separately. First, those who suffer death for the sake of the faith without having received baptism. Okay, this is possible. Are baptized by their death for and with Christ. This is the baptism by blood. This baptism of blood, like the desire for baptism, brings about the fruits of baptism without being a sacrament. Okay, so you have the fruits without actually receiving the sacramental mark, character, seal on your soul. So those who suffer for death are saved. Those who suffer death for the sake of faith, who receive this baptism of blood, they are saved. For them, that constitutes a heroic, perfect act of charity, love for God, which wipes out all sin. For catechumens who die before their baptism, their explicit desire to receive it, together with repentance for their sins and charity, assures them the salvation that they were not able to receive through the sacrament. See how there's the qualification for the catechumens that we don't read with regard to those who die for the faith. Because dying for the faith already is the exterior sign of perfect love for God. But with catechumens, it mentions specifically, not only do they have to have a desire for baptism, but they must be repentant of their sins and have charity. Then it goes on to talk about those who don't know Christ and the church. Since Christ died for all, and since all men are in fact called to one and the same destiny, which is divine, we must hold that the Holy Spirit offers to all the possibility of being made partakers in a way known to God, not known to us, of the Paschal mystery. Every man who is ignorant of the gospel of Christ and of his church, but seeks the truth and does the will of God in accordance with his understanding of it, can be saved. Notice it does not say is saved. He can be saved. It may be supposed that such persons would have desired baptism explicitly if they had known its necessity. Then we go on to another important part on the necessity of baptism, which I mentioned with respect to the Jesuits, and that is children, right? The children who die without baptism. Now, when we think of children who die without baptism, we need to remember two words, prayer and hope, because that's what the Catechism teaches. We can pray for their salvation. We can hope for their salvation. Do we know if they are saved? No, we don't. So we pray and we hope. So the Catechism teaches, with respect to children who have died without baptism, the liturgy of the Church invites us to trust in God's mercy and to pray for their salvation. All right, so for example, women who suffer a miscarriage, okay, they should pray for their child's salvation. As regards children who have died without baptism, the Church can only entrust them to the mercy of God, as she does in her funeral rites for them. Indeed, the great mercy of God, who desires that all men should be saved, and Jesus' tenderness toward children, which caused him to say, "Let the children come to me, do not hinder them," allow us to hope. See, there the Church establishes the theological foundation. Okay, it's not an unreasonable hope. So it allows us to hope that there is a way of salvation for children who have died without baptism. But because we don't know, it then says, all the more urgent is the Church's call not to prevent little children coming to Christ through the gift of holy baptism. Since we don't know, why take chances? And so canon law actually establishes, canon 867 says that parents are obliged to see that their infants are baptized within the first few weeks. Okay, we're not talking about waiting months or years to baptize your children. Why? Because it's necessary for salvation. Don't deprive them of that gift of being cleansed of original sin and becoming adopted sons and daughters of God, being brought into the state of sanctifying grace. So we thank God for the heroic efforts of the North American martyrs, all the souls that they saved through their lives of sacrifice, and the spiritual fruit that was born from the blood that they shed. The first of which we could say was the lily among the Mohawks, that flower that grew up in Orrisville, St. Kateri Tekakwitha. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Fructum ventris tuum.